All right, let's talk about anger. Anybody here angry? If you are, you're probably not going to admit it. Anger can be a serious problem. It even happens to the best of us. Moses didn't make it into the promised land because he got angry. Think about that. Remember, he struck the rock twice. The Lord told him to strike the rock once to make water come out. But he got angry at the people. And he says, what's wrong with you people? He said, why are you always bothering me and bothering God? And the Lord said, because of that, you won't enter the promised land. I'm so glad God forgives, because later, remember, Moses appears with Jesus on the Mount of Transfiguration. So he got in later. Just want you to know that. So let's talk about this. What causes us to become angry? And let's pray for a moment. Let's just ask God to open our hearts. Father, as we talk about this, this is a human emotion that all of us experience. And Lord, it's not wrong to be angry. You tell us to be angry, but not to sin in our anger. But Lord, help us to see anger as a servant that can lead us deeper in understanding who we are and how we need to walk with other people, instead of anger controlling us and destroying relationships and destroying things around us. Lord, I can think over the years of many times when anger has derailed my life or my mission. I can think of people's lives that were changed by anger. And Lord, I pray that you would be the Lord of our lives, not anger, and that you would help us today through your word. In Jesus' name, amen. By the way, we're going to start today, and we're not going to finish talking about anger. This is part one, and we're going to talk more about that. And before I go on, too, I just want to say, wasn't it awesome to have Pastor Dinah share about heaven? It was really good. We have some excellent preachers and teachers in this church, and you have another message. You're not done with that series either, so stay tuned. We're a serious church. You got it. Okay, moving right along. So the dictionary, anger, what is it? A strong feeling of annoyance, displeasure, or hostility. Anger is connected not just to emotion, but it's connected to chemical reactions in our bodies that cause us to respond in certain ways. How many of you have been angry and you just feel all the hormones, the juices, I mean, just all of these things just kind of flowing through your body, and you go, what am I going to do with this? I'm feeling angry. Prolonged anger can damage our bodies, and scientists and counselors and therapists are finding out that prolonged anger can do serious damage, if not actually cause death in people. And if we don't control anger, we can cause death to other people as well. But anger can also have spiritual roots. So what causes anger? When our boundaries are violated, physical, spiritual, or emotional boundaries, whether they're right boundaries or not, if we feel like somebody has crashed our fence, if we feel like somebody has crossed our boundaries, it makes us angry. Sometimes we get angry when our expectations aren't met. Now again, I have to ask the question, do we have realistic expectations? Sometimes we have totally unrealistic expectations. And when people don't meet our unrealistic expectations, we get angry at them and they look at us like, "What? Where did you get that?" Come on, let's be honest. Haven't we all been in that situation? We feel angry when we feel loss and we perceive that somebody has taken something from us or we've lost something. And anger can even be a part of grief. It can be something that we feel because we feel like we've lost something out of time. One of the hardest things for a lot of people I've discovered over the years as I pray for people is there are some people that are angry at God and they don't know how to talk to Him about it. If you're angry with God, what do? I mean, isn't God always right? So what are you going to do? Say, God, I'm angry with you. But the Lord already knows how you feel. You can't hide from the Lord anyway. He knows what you're feeling. I like the way David talks to God. He always respects the Lord, but he says, Lord, I'm angry about this. I'm trying to serve you with all my heart, and my neighbor's totally pagan, and he's being blessed, and I'm running from Saul with all my might, and I don't know what's going on in my life. How many of you have felt that way? You didn't have to confess, Jim, but I appreciate it. He's always ready to do that. So we perceive that we feel we have loss. And sometimes what happens with God are the expectations we have with Him. I would say one of the main reasons that a lot of people aren't serving the Lord, I've run into them as I've, you know, just walking through life. I've had people say, well, I prayed for my brother and he had cancer when he was a little boy and God didn't heal him and I'm angry at God. Or I asked God to help me with a job, or I asked God to help me with my finances, and the Lord didn't do what He what I wanted him to do, and I'm angry at him. Sometimes we even have expectations with God that aren't met. We're going to talk about that as we go on. But we need to be honest about our anger. And I can guarantee you that God can handle your emotions. He wants you to talk to him. Amen. That's what relationship is all about. Amen. I'm going to give you a tip as we talk about anger. One of the reasons why people are angry is we don't share what we're feeling. And we stuff our emotions deep inside, and anger can turn into all kinds of toxic things like bitterness. We get angry about one thing and we don't deal with it, and pretty soon we have, electricians have what they call a floating ground. You don't know where your system is grounding up, but somewhere there's a loose wire, and anger can be like that. We don't know exactly where it all began, but there are things that just set us off. How many of you know that when we talk about anger, we all have buttons that can be pushed? I read a wonderful little quote the other, I guess it was about a month ago now. It was around Mother's Day. And this guy said, "My mom knows how to push all my buttons. It's because she's the one that sewed them all on." The people that are closest to you know where your buttons are. They're the ones that sewed them on when you were a little kid. But it's true. People can push our buttons. So why is there such anger? Why do things set us off? Anger is often tied to some of the emotional hurts in our life. And if you have spiritual or emotional wounds that you haven't dealt with, I guarantee you that's a button that can be pushed. Whether it's a human being or whether sometimes it's the enemy of our souls, Satan, or a demonic force that knows how to push that button and set you off. And it totally takes us off the path. Have you noticed that? When we perceive injustice to ourselves or others, it causes anger. Many years ago, I was managing a restaurant, and it was a part-time thing. It was about, 30 hours a week. It was almost full-time, but not really. And I was in the afternoon shift, and there was a guy in the morning shift, and we had a dishwasher that was had multiple handicaps. He had a hearing problem, and he had some other health problems, and I thought it was awesome that the company hired him, and Larry was an amazing guy. I mean, he really did his job well. And I came in just as the shift was changing, and the morning manager was making fun of him and the way he talked because of his deafness. And something rose up in me, and I, before I even thought about it, I grabbed this other manager and I threw him up against the wall. And You know, here's the funny thing about anger is that sometimes anger causes you to do things and it seems like the right thing at the moment. There was a better way to handle that, Colin. I appreciate you clapping. I'm not advocating violence. But sometimes that anger, you know, it gets you and then you act now and you think later. Have you noticed that about anger? Sometimes we talk about blind rage. What they're talking about is not so much losing our eyesight, but you become so tunnel vision when you're angry that everything around you, you don't think clearly about the consequences of what you're doing, what you might do, what you're going to do. And I had to apologize to this manager later. I didn't apologize for what he did. I said, "I still think what you did was terrible. Larry's an awesome guy, and you owe everybody an apology." And after that whole next shift, everybody kept coming up and hugging me. "Thank you for defending Larry." But still, I felt bad because I should have done it another way. I should have taken the other manager in a room and talked to him. Sometimes when we're physically attacked, it can cause anger. And many people, I have to tell you, if you have been sexually abused or physically abused, especially as a child, that can be a real open door for anger. And it can open a door to times where there are anger and rage in our life. I want you to know we can't change the things that have happened to us, but we can change the way that we respond or react to the things that happen to us. I want to tell you, and we're not going to get to it too much today. We'll get to it in part two. We're going to talk about how God can heal the spiritual wounds in our heart. And how God can break the strongholds. What's a stronghold? It's a pattern of behavior that's based on lies. We sang about it today. He can tear down every lie. Isn't it true? And God can demystify and tear down those lies that have ruled our life and those buttons that make us so vulnerable to anger and to the enemy. God can change your heart so that we're not always walking around waiting to erupt. Some of us can be like volcanoes. Anger can come from God's Spirit in a righteous cause. I believe there's a time to be angry, and there's a right way to be angry. Samson in the Old Testament got angry, and he tore things up for the nation of Israel. Jesus got angry in the New Testament. And people asked me, years ago, somebody said, why did Jesus lose his temper and go in and throw the tables over in the temple? He didn't lose his temper. As a matter of fact, that wasn't a last-minute thing. He literally took time to weave a whip before he went in there. Now, this is going to be hard for some of you because you're thinking, okay, that doesn't fit in with my theology. I like the tender, gentle Jesus, you know. Why was Jesus so upset? The money changers had moved in and they were ripping people off to offer a sacrifice to God. But beyond that, they had set up in the court of the Gentiles, which was supposed to be the place where the nations could come to the temple and seek God. The Lord was clearing that out because he was saying, you have forgotten your role and destiny, Israel, as the people of God. And instead of inviting the nations in, you've locked them out. There was a deep spiritual issue here. And what Jesus did was express the wrath and the anger of God. And by the way, the wrath of God can be an entire study. We're not going to take too much time, but let's ask the question, does God ever get angry? Well, there are a lot of verses about why God gets angry. I came up, as you look at the Old Testament especially, there are five things that really bring the wrath of God. Here are the main reasons. Idolatry, worshiping false gods, is the number one reason why God gets grieved with the people, why his anger is expressed. Number two, disobedience and willful rebellion of the people of God. When we become rebellious against the Lord, it raises the wrath of God, anger. Adultery and unfaithfulness. The Lord is grieved by people that are unfaithful, especially in sexual matters, and it brings the wrath of God. Violence and injustice against innocent people. The Bible again and again talks about people that victimize widows and children. I'll tell you, when society starts going wrong, you know who suffers first and foremost are the children. And then the other people that are vulnerable in our society suffer because of injustice. And we need to understand that grieves the heart of God. I take this very seriously. The Lord tells people that that hire people to work for them, if you withhold their wages, it will bring the wrath of God. We need to take very seriously. There's a righteous anger that comes from God. He is very, very concerned about that. And then also people who touch his inheritance, Israel. That's why when politicians and government leaders talk about carving Israel up and talk about taking away Israel's place in the world, they don't realize that's one of the major things that releases the wrath of God against them. Two scriptures really quickly that we need to know about God's wrath. The first is in Romans 3:23, because I don't know if we realize this, but all of us at one time were under the wrath of God, under God's anger. Scripture tells us that everybody is an enemy of God unless they accept the sacrifice of the Lord Jesus Christ and his love for us. And I want to make a statement here that the world needs to hear, but the church also needs to hear. Someday there are people that are going to go to heaven and there are people that are going to go to hell. All of us will stand at the judgment seat of Christ. Do you know the main reason why people go to hell is not because of sins they committed? I know people are going to say, well, it's because they were sexually immoral or because they stole money or because they did this or that. There's one reason why people are going to go to hell. They rejected the love and the gift of God. It says in Revelation, if your name is not written in the Lamb's book of life. It's so easy to have your name written in the Lamb's book of life, but it requires a spiritual transaction where we say, Lord, forgive us for our sins. We believe that you died for us and we want to accept you as our Lord and Savior. We want to commit our lives. We want you to be the Lord of our life. Romans 3:23 says, for everyone has sinned, every one of us. And by the way, this is what has discredited the church in the world. They think that we think that people are going to go to hell because they're homosexual. Or they're going to go to hell because they did this or that. The reason why people are lost is because they don't know Jesus. If you want to start singling sins out, let's start with gossip, a heart of insensitivity toward people that God loves that are lost. Hello. See, it's funny how we gravitate towards certain sins, isn't it? And this is what's made the church stink at times in the nose of the world. Because we've made it about individual sins instead of making it about a relationship with God. It says, everyone has sinned. We all fall short of God's glorious standard. I love the New Living Translation here. It just makes it so clear. He said, yet God in his grace freely makes us right in his sight. He did this through Christ Jesus when he freed us from the penalty of our sins. God presented Jesus as the sacrifice for sin. People are made right with God when they believe that Jesus sacrificed his life, shedding his blood. This sacrifice shows that God was being fair when he held back and did not punish those who sinned in times past, for he was looking ahead and including them in what he would do in the present time. God did this to demonstrate his righteousness, for he himself is fair and just and makes sinners right in his sight when they believe in Jesus. Isn't that clear in the New Living Translation? He says, please come to me. The Lord has provided for us. The second scripture here is in Romans 1:16. He says, I'm not ashamed of the good news about Christ. It is the power of God at work, saving everyone who believes, the Jew first and also the Gentile. This good news tells us how God makes us right in his sight. This is accomplished from start to finish by faith. As scriptures say, it is through faith that a righteous person has life. But God shows his anger from heaven against all sinful, wicked people who suppress the truth by their wickedness. Is it their sin that puts them in heaven? No, it's the rejection of the truth that puts them in hell. Excuse me. That's what alienates people from God. That is the ultimate sin. It's rejecting. People say, well, what about the unpardonable sin? Well, when you say that the Holy Spirit who came to redeem us is actually the devil, then you can't be drawn to the Lord. Do you hear what I'm saying there? It's all about rejecting truth. So God's anger and God's wrath have been satisfied through the Lord Jesus Christ. We can stop there right now and rejoice. Did you realize at one time we were all under the wrath of God? Thanks be to God that he has forgiven us and washed us clean. If you're here today and you have never committed your life to Christ, all you have to do is you need to come to him and say, Lord, help me. I want you to be my Savior. I believe you died for me, that your life was exchanged for mine. Well, let's move on. Let's talk about our anger. Is there a right way for us to express our anger? Yes. How can we be angry without sinning? We need to control our anger and make it our servant rather than allowing anger to drive and control us. So today we're going to look at part one, overcoming our anger. Let's look at James 1:19. It says, my dear brothers and sisters, take note of this. Everyone should be quick to listen, slow to speak, and slow to become angry. Because human anger does not produce the righteousness that God desires. Therefore, get rid of all moral filth and the evil that is so prevalent, and humbly accept the word planted in you, which can save you. God is slow to anger. The Bible says that in at least three or four different places. The Lord is slow to anger and abounding in love, quick to forgive. Aren't you glad that God is slow in anger? For those of you that are religious people that think that God is out to get you, if he was out to get you, you'd have been got. Because he's really good. He's powerful. Okay, and he can do that. But God is slow to anger, and he wants us to be slow to anger too. A quickness to anger and rage indicates a spiritual stronghold or a spiritual wound in our lives. If you're one of those people that just goes off like this and there's a quickness to anger, there's a spiritual problem. A friend of mine who's a counselor says rage is a gauge. If rage is happening in your life, it's a gauge that there's something overheated in your internal thinking or your spirit that needs to be dealt with. It's an indication that there's a problem there. I want you to notice here that James connects controlling anger to being a good listener. Whoa, back that up a second. James connects controlling anger with being a good listener. In other words, we need to keep calm and make sure we heard what we thought we did. Okay, let's have a moment of confession here. How many of you have had a situation where you went off in a situation because you thought you heard something, only to find out later it wasn't what you thought you heard? Let's bow our heads. I'm serious. How many times does this happen? And sometimes what we need to do is slow down and say, excuse me, I want to make sure that we're communicating here. Did you just say, or could you repeat what you just said? We had this one lady, Deirdre, that did an internship with me, a one-year ministry internship years ago. And she was a very petite lady, but she wasn't going to be intimidated by anybody. So she had this really big word, excuse me? So somebody would say something to her, do something, and she wouldn't even, all she would say was, excuse me? And she said people would, what I meant was, you know, sometimes we just need to stop and we need to give people a chance. Sometimes we go off because of past hurts, past experiences. It might look like something else that happened to us. And we go, that's not going to happen again. We need to be quick to listen, slow to speak, and slow to become angry. This is really important in marriage. It's important in business relationships. Steve's smiling. It's important in everything that we do. Yes, that's good. Do you have a bruise there where she keeps giving you the elbow? Yeah, move one seat over. We need to wait before we react. That's what James is saying. Be slow to speak. How many times in our reactions have we missed the point? We also need to be willing to deal with sin areas in our life, as James says in verse 21, and allow the word to continually transform us. That's an important thing. James 1:22 goes on. He says, don't merely listen to the word and so deceive yourselves. Do what it says. Anyone who listens to the word but does not do what it says is like someone who looks at his face in a mirror, and after looking at himself, he goes away and immediately forgets what he looks like. But whoever looks intently into the perfect law that gives freedom and continues in it, not forgetting what they have heard, but doing it, they will be blessed in what they do. Look at verse 26 and 27. He says, those who consider themselves religious and yet do not keep a tight rein on their tongues deceive themselves. If James hasn't said it enough, he says it again. Watch what you say. Control your tongue. And James, as well as many other writers in the Bible, have this connection between spiritual maturity and our speech. And this is where anger gets us in trouble a lot of times. We begin to go off and we speak and we say things. As my roommate used to say, he said, talk first, think later. He changed his philosophy of life later. James connects spiritual maturity with our ability to know the true condition of our heart in the light of God's truth. What do you see when you see God's word? What reflects back to you? How does your life look? Are you just a religious person who's a hearer of the word? There are lots of religious people out there, and they hear the word, but they never change. They never allow their life to be transformed. Or are you an obedient disciple who knows God and knows who you are in Christ Jesus? If we want to grow up, we need to know who our God is, and we need to know who we are in the light of His truth. As I travel around and people ask, well, what did you do when you were in Mauritius? One of the things I taught them was the ways of God. They are people of great faith. But as I shared with them about the ways of God, I saw leaders go, I've never heard this before. Connecting my faith. They had faith to believe that God could heal people, that God could set people free from demons, but they didn't know how to treat their spouse. Or they didn't know how to do this or that. And I saw these connections. I talked to one leader and I said, so what are you doing to help promote unity among the leaders on your island? He said, I don't do that. I don't believe in unity. None of the people that you know. And that's why I can't share all the stories, but I'll share that. And I said, well, Jesus felt pretty strongly about unity. If you're going to walk in the ways of the Lord. And it was interesting that as we talked a little bit, I could see the light start going on in his head. But there are religious people everywhere that aren't walking in God's ways. There are husbands and wives that are trying to do marriage in their own ways. They're not doing it in God's ways. There are people in business doing it their way. And they keep saying, God, why don't you bless my business? It's because they're not doing it God's way. So it's time to stop what we're doing and take a look and say, God, what is your way here? What do you want to do? Back to anger. Let's look at the next slide there. Something that Dave Buring says, Dave will be here in 2 weeks. I love Dave. His stuff is, over the years, he has spoken into my life in so many ways. But he says, angry reactions are a window to our heart. So when we become angry, we have to ask, what's the root of my anger? The first thing that you should be asking is, why am I angry and what can I learn from this? What's the righteous way to resolve this anger? It's not wrong to be angry. But if you go off in the flesh every time you get angry, you know, I love what Janice said to me years ago when we first got married and I punched a hole in the wall. Thanks be to God, I never hit Janice, but I did punch the wall. She said, are you going to keep doing that in our marriage? She said, oh, look, your fist is bleeding. It's not very effective, is it? Can my anger lead me to a godly and righteous resolution rather than a destructive end? And I think the answer is yes. But we need to be honest before God, honest with others, and honest with ourselves. It's interesting, in James 1 and Ephesians 4, both James and Paul connect anger to speech and our ability to honestly communicate in love with those around us. One of the reasons why a lot of people, especially guys, are angry is because we don't know how to share our feelings with other people. It's easier to go into a rage and intimidate the people around us rather than saying, you know what, that really hurt my feelings. I need some space right now, but can we talk about this later today? Because you're really ticking me off. That's an appropriate way to deal with anger. But I know husbands and wives that hold feelings in for years. What do you think the anger does for all those years? Anger is like acid. It's corrosive. It eats away your inside. It eats away your soul. It's destructive. And the funny thing is, we get angry at other people thinking we're hurting them. Guess who the anger really hurts? Exactly. It's like taking poison saying, watch what happens to them. Gee, I wonder why he died. So let's ask a question, and we're going to stop here in a few minutes. Why does James connect the importance of listening to others as the key in controlling anger? I think we need to ask the question, how can creating an ethic of being a good listener engender peace in you and other people around you? How can it transform your marriage? How can it transform the way you do business? In the book, Seven Habits of Highly Effective People, habit number 5, Stephen Covey talks about this. He says, seek to understand others before you're understood. Now, I adopted this right into my life plan. I've got a life plan. If you ever want to see it, I'll share it with you because I think everybody needs to have one of those. But this is one of my core values. Seek to understand others before you seek to be understood. Are we willing to really be good listeners and understand what the other person's saying? Or are we so busy trying to share what's going on in our own thoughts and our own emotions that the whole time they're talking to us, we're thinking about our response? Let me give you homework. In conversations this week, I want you to not think about answering the person who's talking to you and just listen to them and not feel like you have to share anything when they're done, except, that's interesting, or wow, I didn't know that, or, you know, respond to them, but you don't have to share something about you. If you're a good listener, it's funny, when you're a good listener, people think you're the most awesome person in the world. How many of you want to be the most awesome person in the world? Be a good listener. Somebody said, what did he say? It's inevitable. So Stephen Covey says this. He says, if I were to summarize in one sentence the single most important principle I've learned in the field of interpersonal relations, it would be this: seek first to understand and then be understood. It's a constant struggle for me. Covey says this in the next slide. He says, if you're like most people, you probably seek first to be understood. You want to get your point across. And in doing so, you may ignore the other person completely, pretending that you're listening. Selectively hear only certain parts of the conversation or attentively focus only on words being said, but miss the meaning entirely. So why does this happen? Because most people listen with the intent to reply, not to understand. You say, well, you're talking about this book. What does that have to do with the Bible? Be quick to listen. Slow to speak. This is exactly what James is talking about. In Ephesians 4, where Paul says, stop lying to your neighbors. We belong to one another and learn to speak the truth in love. This involves learning to be a listener. Covey goes on, he says, are you listening to yourself as you prepare in your mind what you're going to say, the questions you're going to ask, and you filter everything you hear through your life experiences, your frame of reference. You check what you hear against your autobiography and see how it measures up. And consequently, you decide prematurely what the other person means before he or she finishes communicating. Does any of that sound familiar? Wow. And we have these misunderstandings because we haven't learned to listen. James says, be quick to listen and slow to speak. And I think this is one of the main things that eliminates toxic anger in our lives. The ability to listen. Practical ways to become a listener. Don't seek an answer while the other person is still talking. If you're thinking about what you're going to say, you're not being a good listener. Give focused attention. Isn't it frustrating when you're trying to talk to somebody and they're doing something, especially with, my Telefonicus umbilicus. I left it in my office. Remember what Charlie said? Disconnect the phone. Sometimes it's a good idea to restate in your own words what you feel others have said. So what I hear you saying is this. Gary Smalley calls this the McDonald's technique. You know, you go to that little speaker and you give them your order and they say, $5. Technology has gotten better. Now it comes up on the screen and you can actually hear the voice. But in the early days, remember, it was that garbled voice. And when you got there, you were just thankful you got something to eat and hoped it didn't cost too much. But if you noticed, so I've been around for a while. I've noticed what the fast food companies did. They started because there were so many misunderstandings and the line would get jammed up. I waited for an hour at the McDonald's line in Paris. For McDonald's. Because Jonathan and Caroline, it was like 1 a.m, they wanted to stop at McDonald's. So we went through. I said, okay, I want to taste how Paris does McDonald's. It was McDonald's. I was expecting like a brioche bun, you know, and free-range beef, and it was McDonald's. But anyway, they started saying in the little thing, you'd give your order, and they would say, okay, so you want 1/4 pounder and no pickles and 1 small fries, and they'd go through the whole thing and give you an opportunity to correct what was said. Sometimes I think it helps to understand people better if you want to learn to be a better listener. To restate what people say and say, I really want to understand what you're saying here. Or just maybe a couple words. Tell me, if you didn't understand, tell me more about that experience that you had. I don't understand. We need to learn to seek to understand people. And I think there's something healing when we listen to people. There's something powerful. People say, when they talk about counselors, they'll talk about different attributes of counselors. One of the best attributes of a counselor is focused attention. Even if you don't have words to help them, somebody to listen to you. How many of you love having just somebody to listen to you? Be willing to affirm truth even when you disagree with the person. There are times when I'm talking to somebody and I go into the conversation knowing that this person is diametrically opposed to everything I believe as a follower of the Lord Jesus Christ. But I find that if I'm a good listener, there are even points that I can agree with in them. And even if nothing else, I can affirm in them that they are made in the image of God and that they have accomplished things, even if it's not what I would value, that they're held in value by other parts of society. Think about that. There are times when I'm listening to somebody and I hear what they're saying and I'm listening to them and the Lord will drop into my heart a prophetic word for them. And I'll say, do you realize, I heard what you just said, but do you realize what God can do in you and call forth their destiny? It can be one of the most powerful moments when people feel like they've been, when you value them, and even though you disagree with them, you can call forth something from God into their life. Does that make sense? Let's stop here. And we'll start talking about the principles of dealing with anger in our next. In about 2 weeks, we'll do part 2. I really think this morning it's all about saying to the Lord, Lord, I have a problem with anger and I need your help. God, help me to learn to righteously express my anger rather than blowing up. And we're in this journey together. It's not something you're going to learn all at once. but it's going to involve the retraining of your mind. But can we also this week allow God to give us a homework assignment to learn how to be a better listener? Be quick to listen, slow to speak our own opinions, slow to speak, and slow to become angry. Let's just bow our heads right now. Thank you, Lord. Lord, let your word convict us. Lord, as I prepared for this message, you just indicated to me that there are so many people struggling with this particular thing. And it's funny, we try to hide these things. We come to church and we put on a happy face and we smile and we pretend like everything's okay. But for some of us, there's so much anger inside. The Lord is telling me that there's a woman here this morning, and I'm not going to call you out by name, but if this fits, allow God to work in you. You've been so deeply hurt by one man, but also by men in your life. And you just keep going on. But sometimes you feel that if you dealt with this anger, that you would just explode. And the Lord wants you to know you can pour it out on Him. He wants to begin healing your heart about this. You can't hold the things that have happened to you in the past. And there are people here that love you, that will listen to you and pray with you. The Lord is also saying there are a number of guys here, and this is your pattern. As soon as people start getting close to you and close to the things that are your buttons, you blow up and you're effectively keeping people away from you. But at the end of the day, you're kind of on your own and you're alone. And you're feeling that isolation and you're saying, why does this happen? And you don't realize that it's your own action that's pushing everybody away. That if you blow up and if you go off, you know that you can effectively protect yourself from any intimacy. And the Lord is saying it's time for that to come to an end. Can we just say to the Lord this morning, Lord, we need you. Oh God, we need you. I want to thank you, Lord, that you didn't just decree our forgiveness from heaven, but you came down and you took on a human body. And you were subjected to all those things that cause emotions to happen. You know what it's like to live in a human body. You know what the human condition is like. You know about the injustices. You know about people treating you certain ways. And Lord, through it all, you loved. And we need your help. We need you to help us know how to change. Oh God, let's stand together. God is convicting certain people. And I'm just going to ask if you... I'm going to pray for us, and then if you want to stay and pray, that's fine, but I'll release you after the prayer. But there's a response, I believe, that God is calling for. Would you just come forward? If anger is something, the Lord is putting His finger on an area of your life, just come and step up around the front. And the prayer team, if you want to be available in case anybody needs extended prayer at the end of the service. But just come, be obedient to the Lord. This is a moment where you're saying, Lord, I'm acknowledging I need your help. I want patterns to change. Oh God, help us. Don't be proud. The Lord is saying, respond. This is going to be a release of God's anointing and power in you. Thank you, Jesus. Just wait a moment more. I believe God's calling people. Be honest before Him. And nobody's going to judge anybody else here, because we're all, the ground at the cross is level, we're all sinners. Thank you, Jesus. I'm going to lead those that have come forward in a prayer, and maybe all of us could join in with them, because I think we all need a measure of this. And just repeat after me, Heavenly Father, I ask you to forgive me for wrongly responding in anger. Teach me to be angry without sinning. Help me to deal with my emotions. Do a work of transformation in my life. Lord, I need your touch. Help me in the name of Jesus Christ. Thank you, God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Let's just praise him. We thank you, God. Lord, I know it's not going to happen in a moment, but this is a beginning for a number of people. I just pray, Lord, that you would begin a work of transformation in us, and just at first becoming honest about what's happening in our own hearts and in our emotions, but also, Lord, in learning to listen and learning to look. Like Dave Buring said, there's a window there, and you're saying, stop and just take a look at what's going on. I just pray that this would be the beginning of breaking patterns of anger, patterns of rage. And for some of us that have carried anger for a long time, the beginning of releasing those things and releasing them to you. But Lord, we thank you. We know for sure that we can come to you and be honest with you and open our hearts to you. And we're so grateful for that, God. We just give you praise and glory and honor. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.